Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, entertaining, and enjoying themselves outside with delicious food. Each week, we'll share some barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. Every show will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests. And we'll also answer listener questions. Please send your questions to getyourbbqon@gmail.com or visit our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com and click podcast. Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. I'm here with my co-host, the doctor,
dun, 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 dun.
Dr. Andre Jones. Dun, dun.
Hello, hello.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you too, doctor.
I hear it's not wabbit season or duck season, but it's open grill season.
Open grill season. You're exactly right.
Woo-hoo!
Man, you know, we had 80 degree weather here in Tucson this weekend.
Yes, we did. It was beautiful.
And, right. And out here in the West, you know, mm-hmm. Southwest. I mean, and in most places right now, it's late March. We're going into April.
Yeah.
It's time to break out the grill.
Woohoo!
And we can break them out in time. Easter's coming up.
That's right. It's, wow.
Tomorrow.
It'll be tomorrow.
It'll
wow.
be tomorrow when the podcast airs.
When that
it'll
happen.
It'll be tomorrow.
When did that happen? How
right,
did that happen?
Right. So you can get her all done. If you can get her all done on Saturday.
Yeah.
You can grill some stuff on Easter Day.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Wow. That went fast. How'd
right,
that happen?
It did. Yeah. Yeah. Easter seems like it came up a little early this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But yes, that time to break out the grill. Mm-hmm. You know, here in the Southwest, here in Tucson, we grilled 360.
Exactly. It's kind of year round.
Yeah. We can grill year round.
Unless it snows.
Right. And it did snow.
It did a couple times.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
But we'll get to the grilling. We have a great guest coming on today.
Who we got?
We've got Sam Brown.
That guy again?
That guy again.
Oh, wow.
You know Sam. He wears a lot of hats.
He does. He's all over the place.
He's all over the place. But today, he's wearing his Dunbar Pavilion President hat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's going to be wearing that today. He's going to come in here and talk to us about the Dunbar and what they're doing here in the community and what the Dunbar is all about.
Sounds good.
You know, it used to be a school.
It was.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
And the city donated it to the Dunbar Association.
That's awesome.
Right. So it's going to be a great conversation and find out what's going on over there and all the things that they are doing in the community and what they're trying to do in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait to see him. Do I have to stand up when he comes in? Like clap?
Yeah. You know when Sam comes in, man, we give him a little pomp and circumstance.
Jeez, hardly be ready for the song when
right,
he comes in.
Right.
We got to cue the music, stand up.
Cue the music.
Yes.
Right.
Make sure we wave, elbow, wrist. Royalty.
Yeah, so now it's time to talk about breaking the grill out of the storage shed, the garage, or wherever you put it for the winter.
Wow.
That's if you...
if you put it away for the winter.
If you put it away.
Oh, man.
I mean, because there's a lot of people that just leave it out in the elements.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
that poor grill.
That poor grill. They're going to have a tougher time.
Yes. It gets cold.
It gets cold.
Yeah.
It gets wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That poor grill.
And you know, things don't rust that much here in Arizona.
Right.
But, you know, especially as dry as it's been, we haven't gotten as much moisture.
True.
But if you live back east, you live northwest, northeast,
don't do that to a grill. Friends do not let friends.
Right.
Keep the grills out there.
right. yeah. Let's get some kind of, you know, sometimes a grill intervention is needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You see a grill sitting out in the backyard just being abused.
I mean, it pains me.
Speak up.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Speak say up. Something. Save Cover something. It up for them. They don't yeah. know.
Save say something.
Save that grill.
Right, right, right. So, hey, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about the easier of the grills. We're going to talk about your charcoal grill or your big smoker, 55-gallon drum or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy because we did have our show when we talked about putting your grill up for the season.
That's right.
You remember that, right?
I do. Right. Yeah, right as the season started. Yeah, when it got cold. Yeah.
Right. So if you covered it and did all the cleaning and everything,
right?
Now all you have to do is basically pull the cover off and you're good to go.
Wow, that's easy.
That's the easy.
You're good. But yeah.
You know, I used to be one of those guys back in the day.
Oh.
And just left the grill sitting out there. And
shame on you, Ken. Yeah, shame on you. Yeah.
So now these guys, you got the 55-gallon, you got this metal out there, grill, and probably you've got some rust on it. So a couple things you want to do. One is you need a wire brush.
Oh,
yeah. It's
good old wire brush.
Yeah, you got to go and check it for any holes or hopefully it hasn't rusted through anywhere. But if you have a little rust, you get out there, get the wire brush, get all the rust off, clean it up on the outside real good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, clean up the outside. The inside, now, hopefully you didn't leave the ash the grill all of this time.
Oh, no.
So, but because you should always remove the ash, and especially if any water, because when the water gets in there with the ash, it just starts eating at that metal.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you don't do anything, you know, once your grill has cooled down, and, you know, even during the season, and you just don't want to let that charcoal sit in there, especially if any kind of moisture and stuff gets in there, it's going to really eat at that metal.
Yeah.
So you want to clean it out, get all the charcoal out, and like I said, any rust spots, hit them with a wire brush, something like that.
Sure.
And then on the outside, you want to go and get some of the heat-resistant paint. You know, they got the. I always use the flat paint.
Okay.
And you can go to any of the hardware stores, or you go to the big box hardware stores, and you can go and get the paint and just clean it up real good, paint it up on the outside.
Okay.
No need to paint on the inside.
Right.
Right. And then you just, that same wire brush, and you just clean those grates up real good.
Nice.
Right. So you can clean them. And so you could take a wire brush. Sometimes if you haven't really been kind to your grill, you might need like a metal paint scraper and something to get some of that junk off
of there. Right.
But yeah, just clean that out real good. Get your grates, however, you know, whatever type of grates you have.
Sure.
And the same thing, use a wire brush. You could use some soapy, you know, use some Dawn water.
Okay.
You know, because Dawn cuts grease and grease. We don't talk about brand names, but when it comes to dishwashing soap,
Dawn is the best way to do it. Yeah.
It's the best way to go.
Yeah. It saves ducks.
Cuts
so,
grease.
You know.
If it can save birds.
Yeah.
And also get all the oil off of them. Yeah, we're going with Dawn.
You got it. Yes.
So anyway, so let's get all the stuff off the grates.
Yeah.
And basically, if you don't have any holes or whatever, you just paint it up. It's got it looking. It may not look shiny because you might have used a flat paint, but you got it all painted and you're good to go.
Right.
And, you know, just make sure all the, you know, the legs and if it has wheels and everything's working properly.
Right.
And then for a charcoal grill, boom, you're ready to go.
Awesome. Now, what about the gas grill?
Yeah, the gas grill. Now, that's a horse of a different color.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot more work. But it's more important. I mean, it's a little more, it's a little more dangerous because you've got propane gas that you're
right.
So one of the first things you want to do is you want to check for any gas leaks.
Right.
And so the way to check for gas leaks is that we're going to hook up the propane to the propane tank, make sure the propane tank is hooked up.
Right.
And one of the things you want to do is get a spray bottle. So you're going to put water and then you're going to add dish soap to the water.
Okay.
Right. Add dish soap to the water. like Dawn. You can put it in the water in the spray bottle.
Right.
And so what you want to do, and so you kind of go, it doesn't take a lot of it.
Right.
A lot of it, but you probably want to go, I don't know, maybe 50-50. You don't take a lot of water because you just 50-50 water, dishwasher soap. Liquid.
Okay.
Just soap. And so what you're going to do is you're going to have it hooked up, and then you're going to turn on the
propane. You're going to
turn, yeah, you turn on the propane.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to turn on the gas. And then when you turn on the gas, you're not going to light it. You're going to spray the hoses with the dish soap.
Oh.
And spray the valves and right there. And then anywhere you go, if you have a leak,
uh-huh,
it's going to bubble up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So
got it.
I mean, and that's how like the gas guys or a lot of people, mm-hmm, test for leaks. So you'll spray it, and then if you see anything bubbling up or whatever, then you have a leak. And so if it's in one of the holes, it needs to be replaced. If it's a valve,
right
at the valve, whatever, maybe it could be tightened up. If not, you might have to
replace
to do that. Right. If it's pump. Where it screws in, but if it's a different place on the valve, you want to do it. So you want to make sure you do that check and make sure there's no gas leaks.
Okay.
Right?
Got it.
And then after that, you know, as far as the gas is, you're good.
Got
right?
it. Yeah.
Right. And then after you check for gas, then you just want to give the grill a proper cleaning.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. You want to make sure you clean all the grates. You want to get all the gook out of there. Mm-hmm. If you haven't really been maintaining the grill, you want to pull some of the stuff out. There's going to be food and, mm-hmm, other stuff that's dropped down between the grates, and just get all that. And if you have the kind of grill that has the little bricks at the bottom,
right,
just get a bunch of that crap off.
Sure, you know, that stuff
that's on the bricks, clean those off. And, you know, some grills will have like a little tray you pull out.
Yeah.
And you can get all the stuff out of there.
Yeah.
Right. So really, you just want to clean it up real good at that point.
Okay.
And then most gas grills have like doors and stuff in the, mm-hmm, bottom. So, mm-hmm, you want to check for spiders and rodents and insects and that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, the grill's been sitting somewhere or whatever.
True,
and, you know,
true.
Those types of things, they like to nest.
Yes.
So make sure that you check that, the bottom, check around behind the gas, mm-hmm, tank or whatever in this gas grill, but check for those, right?
Okay, all right.
And then, you know, once you've done that, you just check the level on your, some of the gas grills will have a little fuel level.
Mm.
Where you can check and see how much fuel's in there.
Yeah.
Some won't, but you can just figure out how much gas you have, because you don't want to, like, your first outing in the new season, and then you don't have enough propane. Or at least have a backup.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. Always have a backup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that our grill master in training always has a backup.
Always.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another story for later, but yeah. I looked up and I was about to grill something. I'm like, wait. I shouldn't do this until, let me check. Okay, I got another spare pan propane. I can grill.
Right.
Everything is good.
Right.
Yep.
So, I mean, you wipe it down real good, get everything all shiny, sparkly, I mean, as much as it can, especially if it's been sitting out without a cover.
But, sure.
You know, just kind of tighten things up, get it going. And then once you've cleaned it up, then what you want to do then is just run a little test run.
Sure.
Yeah, run a little safety test. So you'll go ahead and turn it on, light the burners,
burners,
see if,
yeah,
everything is burning properly.
Yeah.
And then you're good to go.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Easy,
yeah,
breezy.
Right. I mean,
a little bit more
if
work.
You have any little clogs or anything in the gas, you might need like a paper clip or a little pipe cleaner to,
sure,
get through and clean out. Yeah, clean out some of the burners. But otherwise, you should be good.
Easy breezy.
Yeah, that's all it takes to open up for the season.
Wow. All right.
And you'll be good to go for Easter Sunday.
Perfect.
Are you grilling anything for Easter?
My mother hasn't said anything yet.
Oh.
So I think I'm skipping. I'm like laying low until she says something. I don't know. They make me cook some ribs. So, but that's,
right,
grill some ribs. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I don't think, right now, I'm leaning toward frying a turkey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Instead of
grilling. I got to smoke one. I'm leaning towards frying a turkey.
Get out of here.
Yeah, you know, got the propane set up outside, the little cooker out there.
Yeah,
the peanut
yeah.
oil.
Right.
And I think that's the way we're going to go this Easter.
All right. All right. All right. All right. That's going to taste good.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be heavenly.
Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
No pun intended. Yeah, yeah. So anything else about getting ready for the season?
No, I'm excited just to get, well, I'm already in the season.
Yeah.
I've been in the season, but I'm excited for other people to get into the season and start grilling and start experimenting with new recipes, new ideas that they got to, you know, maybe see while they're on break, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, while they've been in the house for all this
time. Yeah, pretty much. Snowed in. I can't imagine that. I can't do it.
Who can? Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Once upon a time. But right. Not now. All right. Well, it's time for us to take a break. But when we return, it's time for us to answer a listener question. And...
uh-oh.
Check in with the doctor.
Oh, I cannot wait. I have such a great story.
Our grill master, pit master in training.
Woohoo!
All right, so we'll be right back. Hang in there. This is Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Restaurant, where we have created a blend of barbecue and southern cooking. We have taken the best barbecue styles and flavors from Texas, Missouri, and the Carolinas. What food has meant to my family is a way to come together in fellowship. We invite you to come and join us. We are located at 5250 East 22nd Street in Tucson at the crossroads of Craycroft and 22nd. Call us at 520-745-4746. Come on down and get your barbecue on. Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast with Ken Alexander. I'm here with the doctor. Dr. Andre Jones. Hey, so whose question are we answering today?
We got Vern from El Paso, Texas.
Vern?
Vern. Okay. Good El Paso, Texas. Good old El Paso. And he has a question for you. He opened up his grill and he wants to give it a deep cleaning.
A deep cleaning.
Yeah. He has some stuff on the inside as well as on the outside. He wants to clean the burners. He wants to give it a deep cleaning. What do you recommend that he does?
Well,
that he have a nice, shiny, deep cleaned grill?
Yeah, so I'm assuming that Vern has a gas grill.
He said burners.
He said burners. He did say burners.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just run down some of the cleaning materials I think you're going to need. You're going to need a sponge,
uh-huh.
Some clean rags,
mm.
Probably some stainless steel cleaner, depending
really?
On... Yeah, yeah, because most of those gas grills are stainless steel.
Yes, true, know? True.
Yeah, yeah. And then a grill brush or a wire brush.
Mm-hmm.
Just depend, you know, wire brushes are a lot cheaper.
Right.
But, and then sometimes those grill brushes do not hold up very well.
Really?
Unless you get a really expensive. But those plastic ones, man, they bust and break and then some. But... you can get some wire brushes pretty cheap at the hardware store.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can have a few of those.
Yeah.
And they'll outlast those grill brushes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But then we talked when we were talking about cleaning in the first part of the show, we talked about pipe cleaners, paper clips.
Yep.
And then, of course, you need a spray bottle.
Right.
If you're going to be deep cleaning, and I'm imagining if you're doing this, you probably, I'm assuming that maybe you haven't used it for a while.
Right.
So the thing is, deep cleaning the grill, we'll start on the inside.
Yeah.
And it just depends. One is just get all the debris out, all the ash,
yes.
All the cooked food or that's dripped down. And a lot of grills, especially the ones that have the bricks, they have the little white bricks with the holes in it.
Yes.
And those bricks, they can really have a lot of buildup on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can take like a little paint scraper.
Really?
And just, you know, scrape. You got to be gentle because they will easily break. And probably they do get damaged at times, so you may have to order some of those briquettes, and they're not that expensive, and you can order them online. It's probably best to order them online.
Yeah.
Going to the hardware. If you can, certainly, if you can get the type you need by order online, because, because I don't know what hardware store or whatever just carries that specific one.
If
you have one that there's a place that you went and they carry your grill, and maybe they have some for yours, but they're easy to order online.
Okay.
Right. So you want to get all those cleaned up. You want the tray and just get all of the debris out of there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have any stuff that's dripped down on the burners and that, just get all that stuff
clean up the burners.
And maybe some of the holes are clogged. And that's where the paper clip and the pipe cleaner and all that stuff come in handy. And just to get all that stuff out.
Nice.
Right. And so we get all that out and we take and we clean the grates.
Right.
And we talked about cleaning the grates.
Yep.
You just get them, use a wire brush.
Yeah.
If you really want to get them really shiny or get everything off, put them in, you know, some soapy dish water.
Right. Using Dawn.
Using Dawn.
This episode is brought to you by Dawn.
Yeah. It's recommended by most birds.
Right. Exactly.
It's the bird's go-to dishwashing liquid.
I love it.
right. But that's it. You get all that. And if you haven't used it for a while, we talked about how you check the hoses for the gas. And that's why you need a spray bottle.
Right.
And you go like 50-50 dishwashing liquid water.
Sure.
And we spray the hoses. We turn it on. We spray the hoses to see if there are any gas leaks.
Right.
And so you do that. And that is the inside. You kind of took care of the inside. You're taking care of the hoses on the outside.
Yeah.
And now we just want to clean the structure.
Right. The structure of it.
Right. So you just want to wipe it down. You want some soapy water, clean it off, and tighten up anything that might be loose.
Right, the handles or anything else in there. Yeah.
That, tighten that up and then just wipe it down with some soapy water, get all that stuff. Just get all the grease and everything that kind of builds up on there. And sometimes you may need to use some grill cleaner to get some of the grease off.
Okay.
And which is okay.
Right.
And so use that. And from there, you use that stainless steel cleaner to make it shiny and sparkling and all, you know, those things.
Makes sense.
And I think that's the deep cleaning. That's all you want to do. You can get down in there and as far as how often you need to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking you just really need to do it like once a season. You always just wipe it down and, you know, you always wipe it down and you use the wire brush on the grates.
After
you finish eating. And then sometimes you turn on the gas and just let a lot of that food and stuff burn off.
Yeah.
And then you come back later and you can just hit it with the wire brush and get all that stuff and get all that debris out of
easy.
There. So that is like weekly maintenance.
Yeah.
Weekly maintenance of the grill.
Yeah.
Is that kind of stuff. But as far as like a deep cleaning and all that stuff, that's sort of like a
once a season
kind of thing.
Got it.
Right before you close the grill for the season. Mm-hmm. Or if like where we live in Arizona, there is no end to the season.
No.
Then periodically, every few months, you might want to go and get some of that and clean some of it. Do some heavy cleaning.
Yeah.
I don't know, you have to really go to the deep clean thing, but do some heavy cleaning and get all that debris and all that kind of stuff out there. Check the works and that kind of stuff.
That makes sense.
Right.
Mm.
So.
Easy.
Yeah.
Hopefully
that helps you out, Vern.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Vern, for the question. And you can leave more questions for us to answer. Mostly Ken, not me. I don't answer anything. I'm just a grill master in training. But you can leave those by sending us an email to getyourbbqon@gmail.com. That's getyourbbqon@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you, Doctor.
No problem.
All right. Well, it's that time for us to check in with our grill master, pit master in training.
Ooh, I got a good one.
The Doctor.
Da, 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 da.
Dr. Andre Jones.
Da, da, da.
So what's happening on the grill at Hacienda Day Jones?
So let me tell you in story form.
All right.
So I'm addicted to skirt steak. That's really what
that
happened.
That was fast. That was quick.
Man. Oh. So I went to the store, right? And I'm like rocking around, going to the store, and I'm like, you know, I think I'm going to try some skirt steak. I want to see how this is going to turn out. And, you know, we talked about fajitas.
Right. We did talk about fajitas.
And so...
Common meat for fajitas.
Man, why did you do that? So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm going to try some fajitas. So I bought some skirt steak. I asked someone, I need some skirt steak. He's like, you want some pants? I'm like... Like, luckily, I know this joke. No.
Yeah.
I know this joke. So I got some, and it was actually smaller and thinner, just like you said.
Right.
It's quite thin. I asked if this is in or out. He said, this is out. I said, okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So I went home, and I'm like, okay, how am I going to make this fajita? And I was thinking, like, store-bought fajita sauce sounds horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I want to make my own.
I
went online and I found my own fajita marinade.
Wow.
That's right. Marinade, folks. I made my first marinade.
Go for it, doctor.
Oh, my gosh. And it was very easy to make. It just has a garlic. It has chum. It has peppers and A1 sauce. Hmm. There's a couple of stuff in there, but A1 sauce.
Yeah.
Really, really easy to make.
Wow.
And so I made the sauce. I made my marinade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Put it on the skirt steak. I cut the skirt steak into three slices, basically.
Yeah, so it'll fit easy on your grill.
Exactly. And then also one side is bigger than the other. So everything, I wanted to make sure that everything got the temperature.
Right.
So I bought two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cut them up. So I have six. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I'm going all out. So I marinate everything.
Yeah.
And then I let it sit for 45 minutes.
Mm.
In the meantime, I have my red pepper and green pepper, which I'm also obsessed with.
Yes.
And I start cutting those up.
Okay.
And I got some onions, and I started cutting that up.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is getting done, right?
Yeah, right.
I had my my daughter and her friends were over.
So the red peppers and the green peppers, did they go on the grill too, or did you saute those in the pan?
I sauteed those in the pan.
That's good. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah, I thought I would saute both of those and then have them wait for the meat.
Right. I feel you.
Yeah.
It's good.
So, you know, I had my daughter smell it, and she's like, Dad, what is that? That smells really good. I'm like, that's what I want to hear. I asked her friend, smell this. This smells really good. I'm like, yes, that's right. Smell good.
Right.
That's what we want to hear. Yeah. 45 minutes was up.
Mm-hmm.
I light my grill.
Wow.
And I knew it was going to take some time for it to, you know, reach
to get
temperature.
Right. Yeah. To get hot. This needs to be really hot.
Exactly. 450 degrees is where I was going for.
Right.
And so while that's, you know, that's basically it. Heating up,
mm-hmm.
it's still sitting in marinade a little bit longer. So finally now I put everything on the skillet, the peppers and the onions on the skillet.
Mm-hmm.
I throw the marinade in there.
Oh, with the peppers.
So now all of them are soaking into the marinade as well. And now it's time to put the meat on the grill.
Yeah.
Throw those bad boys on the grill and close the lid. Now,
sizzle.
I love that sound. It is the best sound ever. It's like, I'm a man. So it's sizzling, it's doing its thing, and I close the lid and make sure it gets my one thing about my grill is it will cool down fast when that lid is open.
Oh, okay. So you close it fast.
I'm like, I have to and close it really, really quick.
Yes.
Luckily, I had my handy dandy meat thermometer and my spritz, which was lemon juice this time.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Hint of lemon, and plus lemon juice goes into the marinade too.
Okay.
So this worked out.
Yeah.
So I let everything cook. Mm-hmm. I flip it around. Beautiful, beautiful grill marks.
Mm-hmm.
Get everything to about 140.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to get it to. All
right.
I took them out, let it rest for 5 minutes.
You gotta let it rest. Let those juices.
Yeah. Oof. And then I'm getting hungry just thinking about it again. So meanwhile, I'm still playing with the peppers and make sure peppers are done. And I get the 5 minutes pass.
Mm-hmm.
I get the skirt steak out and I start cutting and I took a bite and that was it. I fell in love. And here's the problem. Like, and then I start putting the meat into the skillet, you know, right. So that way they can all kind of soak together and really get there. And I'll cut one piece, put it in the skillet, cut another piece, put it in my mouth, put another piece, put it in the skillet, put another piece, cut it. Yeah. I'm like, I'm eating the meat just as is. And you could just taste the flavor. Oh, my gosh, the flavor.
Mm.
Cut everything up, put it in the skillet, let them all saute together. Meanwhile, put the tortillas in the oven, let them heat up a little bit, grab the tortillas out, put them aside, put the fajitas now, the fajitas in the tortillas, put some top of with cheese, put some sour cream on there.
Wow.
Ooh-wee. You know, my daughter and her friends devoured, the fajitas fast.
Wow.
I can't keep it in my house fast enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We'll have it done in a day. And I mean, literally, I still have one slab and a half left to make more.
Okay.
Which is cool because I just get more peppers and cut it up and do the same thing again.
And it's easy to make the marinade.
Oh, very easy. Like 5 minutes to make the marinade, which is so cool because now my seasoning rack, it has lots of seasoning. Like I'm becoming more of a man. I got seasoning. You know, Ken, I've realized this, that you know, I'm not really a gym guy, you know.
Right.
I'm not gonna have the bigger muscles and all that stuff.
Right.
But man, I'm gonna tear it up in the kitchen. All I need is one woman to come over one time and that's it. Not need to go anywhere else. Right, she'll be like done.
Yeah, man.
It was good. I mean, super good. And then one other thing, I made steak not too long ago.
Oh, okay.
Like
what kind of steak? What cut?
So this one was funny. I got these really small cuts of steak. That's the only way I can explain them. I'm trying to remember. They're sirloin, I think it was.
Yeah, okay.
It was really small.
I've seen those. They'll have different cuts. And they'll cut them different ways in the meat case at the supermarket.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, let me try this. Let me see what I can do here.
Right.
And Amanda, my daughter, decided to have 5 people over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, these 5 little women are going to have their bellies full.
Right.
I got the steak and I did a berry reduction.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. And they never had the berry reduction before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so I gave them the steak and the berry reduction without the sauce or anything.
Right.
Oh, man, they destroyed that too.
Wow.
Oh, and one actually came back was like, I want more. I'm like, you want more? And I'm all excited, like, you do? Me? Yeah. Okay, cool. Hang on, let me get you some more. Oh man, we destroyed that. Uh-oh. We ate like I even had a vanilla cream soda that day.
Oh wow.
I mean, you know I gave those up, but
I know.
I had to have one.
Yeah, I know. You gave up the cream soda.
It was so good. It was so good. So that's what's been going on. I've been burning on the grill. Just burning on the grill. And and every time Amanda's home or she's been home. And of course, the dog is loving this too because he gets fed too.
Yeah.
Every time she has friends over and I'm like preparing a meal. Oh, man. They come over, I think, for the food now. They come over to see her. They come over for me.
Yeah. Hey, what's your dad cooking today?
Exactly.
Is your dad grilling? Your dad on the grill today?
Exactly. What you grilling? What you got? Oh, I get excited.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the doctor is still he's still achieving.
That's right.
These passing grades,
woo-hoo!
These great grades.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I passed my midterm.
Yeah, you did.
You
did pass your midterm.
Yeah, it was a skirt steak. I did my midterm.
Yeah. That was it. You did a great job.
Thank you.
You did a great job.
Thank you. You know, the semester is almost over. You know, May is the end of the semester. So, you know, my finals are coming up. So I got to.
Yeah, you got to hunker down for a finals.
Yeah.
We're still thinking about what you're going to need to cook for finals.
Right. All right. I believe by May I'll be ready.
Right. I mean, yeah. The thing about it is that you're ahead of the game. And I think we're going to bump you up a grade. And I think where you would normally be going to your sophomore year, I think we're going to send you straight to your junior year.
Woo! Look at that. I skipped the grade. Woo! Yeah, look at that. Persistency is key.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the enthusiasm and then, you know, your willingness to try new things and just the way you tackled that skirt steak.
Yes.
And that was just in our episode last week. So,
I know.
Yeah, yeah. We're all excited about your progress.
Woohoo!
And hey, it probably won't be long before you have your own Get Your Barbecue On Grill Master Pit Master apron.
Woohoo! Finally, that's all I'm working towards. Right, so that's what I'm working towards.
Right, right.
So what we get.
You get that embroidered apron instead of just the plain one with nothing on it.
And just like my master's degree, I get to get hooded with it.
Yeah,
right? You
right.
Need to put it on me.
That's
right.
That's right. Right. Exactly. So, right. But anyway, hey, it's time for us to take a break. But when we return, we're going to be bringing you the good news.
Woohoo!
We got Sam Brown here, president of the Dunbar Pavilion.
That's right. Royalty will be in the room again.
Right. So we'll be right back. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. It's your favorite pit master in training, Dr. Andre Jones himself. And I'm super excited to let you know that I have my very own show. That's right. I am the host of All About the Win podcast, where myself and my fellow players interview local and national entrepreneurs about their greatest accomplishment thus far. Plus, we add a little bit of old school magic to make the stories come to life. You can check it out by going to www.allaboutthewinpodcast.com. That's www.allaboutthewinpodcast.com. And prepare to be inspired and entertained.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast with Ken Alexander. I'm here with the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
Doctor. Yeah, the doctor. Da, da, da. My co-host, Andre Jones.
Uh-huh.
And we have a very special guest today.
Royalty is here.
Royalty. Dun, we, dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. We must stand and applaud for royalty.
Yeah. We have Sam Brown here. Today, he's wearing his hat for the Dunbar Coalition. He's the president of the Dunbar Coalition.
Sir, big honor. Big
All
honor.
Right. And Sam, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited.
Right.
325
right.
West 2nd Street.
And the first thing he does is he just puts a plug in. The first thing he does as soon as he comes
on. I don't
know
where it is. Maine and Speedway.
Yeah. Yeah.
About a railroad track. Through.
Yeah, that's great. So, Sam, why don't you tell us what is the Dunbar Coalition?
Oh, the Dunbar Coalition is an organization of, at its core, made up of four organizations, member organizations. So, the Dunbar Alumni Association. Mm-hmm. So that's made up of folks who actually went to Dunbar.
So Dunbar was junior high school, elementary?
Dunbar was originally an elementary school.
Okay.
For black students in Tucson. And it started off actually at 6th and 6th, 6th Avenue and 6th Street.
Okay.
At a very small location and then eventually moved to where it is now.
Okay.
And the historic building was an elementary.
Okay.
And then later they built the second building, which was the junior high.
Okay.
Which we referred to as the Spring Building, just so we know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But, in the 1910s, you know, Tucson decided that they were going to create a segregated school.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And black families organized and pulled all their kids out of the school system in protest.
Okay.
And the school board went ahead and did it anyway.
Mm.
And eventually people start putting their kids back into the schools. And, some of the board members who supported segregated schools have schools named after them now.
Oh,
really?
Right. Yeah. So it's I'm not gonna go all the way to like Confederate statutes and stuff, but there's a legacy that is still here.
Yeah, right.
From folks that did certain things, and you know, the first 19 kids, I was looking through an old history research paper at the Dunbar about a month ago, and there, it had the names of the original 19 kids that went to Dunbar at 6th and 6th.
Wow.
First set of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And on that list was my grandpa's name.
Get out.
Hemsley Haywood.
Yep. Get out.
And I didn't know this
right.
history.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my dad, texted my dad. My dad didn't know.
Mm.
I went on my family Facebook. Like nobody knew this piece of history.
Right.
And so it was such a beautiful thing to know that, like, I always say, you know, I'm second generation in Tucson. Like, that's rare. So many people are from everywhere.
Right, right.
But a month ago, I found out that I was third. I'm the third generation deep.
Right.
Like, we've been here 100 years, my family.
Wow.
And so for me, like, you know, the history, the legacy of our community of Black Tucson, of those families that bravely took their kids out of school to boycott,
right.
you know, back in the teens. Like, that was Black activism
right.
here in the Southwest
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of the century. So it's an honor for me to be a part of Dunbar and to be a part of that legacy. And it's personal for me.
Yeah,
my father went there to Spring for sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
You know, before going to Ross Grouge. So
it's,
you know, uncles and aunties went to Spring. My Uncle Willie helps Terry with the step class, you know, once we open back up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, at the Dunbar, right.
But, you know, just it's a big piece of my family and my heritage and my own legacy, my own family's legacy. So I want to see it flourish, man.
Okay.
So that's sort of the history of the Dunbar, the Dunbar Pavilion. So the facility itself, we call it the Pavilion.
Yeah.
The board that runs it is the Coalition.
Right.
And that's Tucson Urban League, Juneteenth Committee, the Dunbar Spring Neighborhood Association, which
okay.
is a neighborhood around there,
mm-hmm.
and then the Dunbar alumni, all the folks who were still around that went to Dunbar.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
So what about, so you said there were four parts.
Yep. Those four organizations make up the coalition.
Those are the four parts.
And then there are other board members that are not really associated with one of those four organizations, but they just, you know, want to see the Dunbar grow.
Okay.
Yep.
And so the Dunbar Coalition and the Dunbar Pavilion, what do they do?
Well, I mean, it was the vision of Cress Lander, just an amazing visionary who saw this dilapidated building that had been sitting there unused for decades and approached the city and TUSD and bought the building. And there were broken windows and graffiti and, you know, drug addicts in the basement. And it was just a beat down, you know, eyesore.
Right.
And he looked at that and he saw what we have today.
Wow.
Which is basically like a cultural center, a community center.
Community center.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are two, kind of started with two, what I guess I would call now like anchor tenants or organizations, and that's Barbia Williams,
right.
her performing dance company,
uh-huh.
And Tio and his barbershop.
So so you have a barber academy there,
yep.
and you have a dance.
So there's a full dance studio,
uh-huh.
youth dance, adult dance, different types of dance happen different nights,
right? Mm-hmm.
Barbia Williams Performance Company, they put on shows. Mm-hmm. Some amazing stuff. And the Barber Academy, you know, the history of that is that T.O. sort of had a place picked out that wasn't the Dunbar.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of had a conversation with Cress about, you know, here's my vision. Here's what I'm trying to build. Like, I want you to bring your academy here.
Right.
Wow.
Into a Black-owned space.
And, mm-hmm.
and just the power in that one decision,
uh-huh.
right? How these one decisions can change the future.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Barber Academy has put out probably half of the barbershop owners in Tucson.
Right.
Have gone through that academy.
Gone through
like
TL's Academy.
Economic yeah. empowerment for Black
right.
and brown people.
Yeah.
Like that's powerful. And he's expanded. So now there's a Dunbar Academy on the top floor of the historic of the Spring Side. And on the bottom, where he used to have the academy, is a barbershop. It's a regular barbershop.
Oh, wow.
And salon.
Okay.
So Tio's expanded.
Okay.
Right. So he just has his school, and now he has a for-profit barbershop right
yep.
here.
Just regular there. Barbershop.
That's
and,
awesome.
And salon. So it's cool.
That is great.
Yep. So Dunbar is really, you know, a lot of different things, but it's tenants, you know, really anchored by Barbia and Tio.
Mm-hmm.
There's a charter school there now, the IDEA Charter School.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
One of the beautiful things about the charter school is when they came in, we were like, you know, this is a black space, an unapologetically black space.
Right.
And
right.
and one of our conditions is you have to teach the history of Dunbar and school segregation to your kids.
I love it.
And they took it on and they do. So when you go through, when you walk those halls,
even right, you know school, what's going on.
When you
on.
Leave, yeah. you know the history of that place that you mm-hmm. were in.
Yeah.
So the charter school's there. They haven't been operating, obviously, for the last year.
Right.
It's a few other tenants there. The Urban League has recently moved in.
Okay.
Well, that's great.
So the Urban League is at the Dunbar now. That was a dream of many people for many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're working on the NAACP, but you know, they're kind of stuck over in my old hood.
So they already in a lease or a building or something over there?
Yeah, Urban League is in a room.
NAACP.
NAACP is currently at the Donna Ligon Center
Over
on Sugar Hill. But we're hoping
they'll make the move.
Yeah,
because you know it's one thing to be in a city space; it's another thing to be in a private black-owned space like this is ours.
The community. You're talking about community.
Yeah,
a community
center. And it's hard because they're in a historically black neighborhood,
right?
And that has value too,
right?
So you know, nothing. I love the NAACP. Shout out Sheree Meeks, their new president. She's mm-hmm. amazing. And Freedom Clothing just moved in.
Wow.
That's beautiful. So Reggie Kennedy has had a clothing shop for many years.
Mm-hmm.
T-shirt shop. He makes custom t-shirts, hats,
right,
bracelets, and like cool stuff, man. So now you know you can go to Dunbar and get your gear. You can get your haircut, you can get your gear,
get ready, right?
Get your hair did and
we got Drewtopia. He's working the garden out at the Dunbar.
Very amazing, man.
We got Reggie Kennedy from Freedom Clothing. He's painting the basketball court.
Oh, yeah. Really?
It's gonna be like a dashiki. It's gonna be the coolest basketball court you ever seen in your life. And it's gonna be in Tucson, Arizona. It's cold.
And
we got Karima. Karima's doing a pod, a school pod, you know, while we're in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
She got some grant money. And so it's beautiful when you walk into Dunbar now, like, you know, it used to just be the one building and the other building was kind of being rehabbed and closed.
Right.
Now both buildings are full of life. There's kids running around. There's people walking in and out and music playing. It's just, it's
alive.
It's a different vibe.
Right. Yeah, it's alive again. Yeah.
And shout out Bill Ponder, you know, who preceded me. He just laid a lot of this foundation. Mm-hmm. I can't take credit for it all.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been a group effort. Shout out to my whole exec team, Barbara Lewis, mm-hmm. Shirley Hoggett, Debbie, Ray Masterson. Like, just people put in so much of their time and effort and mm-hmm. love, man, to make this happen. So
yeah, so
I'm excited.
I know the IMA used to meet over there too.
IMA still, well, this... technically, when we get back.
Right, yep. Right.
IMA meets there.
Interfaith Ministerial Alliance.
Yep, yeah. The 33 black churches.
Wow.
We have on Friday nights, there's a drum circle at the basketball court, you know. There's meditation circle on Friday nights.
Oh, how cool.
So there's just, you know, you go there on a Friday, you hear drums playing and stuff. It's amazing, man. And then the Urban League is doing a heritage market, which is third Saturday of every month.
Oh, it's third Saturday every
month. It's
coming
month.
Up April 17th.
Coming
right?
up April 17th.
Oh,
yep.
Cool.
And food vendors, black-owned businesses come out 11 to 3, bring your kids. It was a really big event in February, and we're going to keep growing and expanding. We thought we'd have 10 or 15 vendors the first event. We ended up having 22.
Wow.
And people sold out. Like the vendors that came sold out. The small businesses that didn't have something to sell, they, you know, got their cards out. They got new customers.
Okay.
It was just amazing, man. So
got it.
You know, that's the Black Street Fair.
Yeah.
The Black Spot.
Yeah,
you
know, I love it.
Really cool stuff happening at the Dunbar, man.
I love it.
It's alive again.
It is. Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of movement, a lot of shaking. A lot of liveness going in
Absolutely.
Over there, which is so great because it's such a beautiful building, really.
Yep.
It's just a beautiful space to house so much people. And I'm so glad that people are coming back to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely a foundation for a lot of things. Tio, you know, shout out Tio. He's expanded to Phoenix now.
Wow,
yeah,
really?
His barber school to Phoenix, you know, downtown Phoenix. So just the things that have spawned out of the Dunbar.
Yeah, just amazing. Have grown out of there. I mean, people just get in there sort of like a little incubator.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, exactly. When you have place, you know, it can do some amazing things.
Right,
absolutely.
Right.
For sure. Yeah. It's amazing to me how many people don't know what the Dunbar is. Like I say, the Dunbar.
Right.
And I grew up like knowing, but people are like, what's that?
I mean, I'm not from Tucson, so I mean, the only thing is I have friends that went to John Spring and I have friends that... You know, that went to the Dunbar.
You ain't old enough to have no friends that went to John Spring, though. Ken, like 42 years old.
I'm saying.
Trying to pass for old dude.
Trying to pass for old dude.
Trying to fake the funk. Like, damn, Ken.
Yeah. So to just tell us, I mean, so what are some of the key benefits that Dunbar provides for the community? You got a lot of programs and
man.
And I mean, and it's...
There's always a lot going on, a lot of programming. We have a health and wellness. We have an ongoing health and wellness program.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had classes on like how to cook right and how to eat healthy.
Yeah.
Where people are coming. There's a film club.
Mm.
I was trying to look on my phone because
a film club.
There's a film club that was really popping, you know, before COVID.
Before COVID.
Right.
And we'll get it back. But it was amazing just to be able to watch film and video in safe space and then to have discussions around it.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
And then the auditorium is another big piece that there's a lot of events that happen in the auditorium, quinceañeras and weddings and stuff.
Sure. And you can rent that out, right? You can rent out the
absolutely,
space.
Absolutely. And you should rent it out.
Right.
You know?
And so, yeah, I mean, I know you guys are encouraging more organizations that need a space, especially if they're African American organizations, to take a look at Dunbar.
Absolutely. You should absolutely consider Dunbar. What you're going to find, like when the Urban League comes to Dunbar and says, we want to do a market, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody else we charge, and well, you're a tenant already. We're not going to charge you to use the parking lot, right? That's in line with our mission. That's what we want to see. So anytime organizations can come together, put resources together and build, that's what the Dunbar is all about. And we're always going to support that. So, you know, whether you can get, you know, a full space at the Dunbar, or you come and you check it out and you say, you know, I can't really afford a full space, but let's have a conversation about maybe a smaller space or a shared space. We're real flexible. We have we've had people come to us and say, we want to rent out, you know, one day a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation.
Sure.
Or, you know, we want to do this event once a month. Let's have a conversation.
Right.
So there's traditional tenants, which we'd love to have you be a part of the Dunbar family. You know, if you align with our mission and our purpose. But at the same time, there's non-traditional, you know, people just need space.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen some places where they have like a shared space where like you could office there, but you could share conference rooms and that, and all you have to do is schedule and some of the other services that could be supplied.
And I think having the Urban League there as a partner is really helpful because the Dunbar, at its core, the Dunbar Coalition exists for the pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure the pavilion is there for our kids, you know, 100 years from now. So the Dunbar isn't very heavy on programming.
Right.
What the Dunbar does is partner with other organizations to facilitate their programming.
Makes sense.
And so having the Urban League there for what you talk about, we've had a lot of conversations about incubators and about shared space. And Dunbar's not really set up to facilitate that, but the Urban League is.
Well, that's the thing, man. And I think as a community, that one of the things that the African American or the Black community needs to do is everybody know not go out and try to recreate the wheel.
Right.
And that if you could support there's a lot of organizations, just like there's a lot of churches.
Right.
And if you could just support, you know, if somebody's got a nice thing going over here and they have a nice nice event or a nice program, if you could just put support behind that, then it's going to be better than everybody creating some programs that aren't quite as good don't have the necessary resources to be successful. Right. And so that.
You got to get to us.
Right.
Away from me.
Right. And that seems to be what you guys are trying to do over there, and that you are kind of facilitate as far as like, you've got the space, we got the facility, let's bring the organizations together and work together to make it a better community.
Yeah,
absolutely. You right on, my man.
Yeah.
That's why I mess with you, Ken. You see it, man. No, but so many people don't see it, man. And I think so many of my generation, now that we're sort of assuming these leadership positions, right?
Right.
Like me and with Cherie over at the NAACP, just think in demand with the IMA and with the Urban League.
Right.
And just coming into our own, but watching how there was sometimes personality conflicts that would cause shifts and breaks between organizations.
Right.
When I came into Dunbar, I was like, why is Dunbar and Urban League not working together?
Yeah.
And I won't go into, but it was like.
But sometimes, man, those egos get in the way, bro.
Right.
Sometimes.
Clouds the vision.
Right. And we just have to kind of look past that and yep. get past that.
And we were talking, I was talking to my homeboy Ranson, man. He lives in Dallas now, but he was here for a long time, ran for office at one point. And just recognizing together yesterday that Tucson is too small in the black community for egos, for cancel culture. You can't be like, man, you know, in 1992, I disagree with you, so I'm never messing with you again. it's too small for that, right?
Right,
so,
right.
You know, and it's just a message out to folk, man, to my folk. Like, you got to realize that you're going to disagree with people. You're going to not like something somebody did. You're going to not like the way they did it. But it's too important for us. We got bigger fish to fry. Like, we got to get past the petty stuff.
Right, right. I mean, because there's a lot of stuff out there, man, for us to support that we need to support to further our community.
Amen.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and then especially while, you know, with all this stuff going on.
Right.
So we need all these organizations to come together. And
amen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And just support things like voters' rights.
Right.
It all starts with the community.
Starts with the people.
Amen. Start small.
Yep.
You start at the Dunbar.
And it starts with the big O word, man. Organization.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
You got to be organized.
Right.
You got to be able to pick up the phone and get a message out quickly. And you can't do that if your ego's in the way, if your past BS is in the way. You got to be able to just keep moving.
Well, I'll tell you, man. I mean, that's why I'm really encouraged by your leadership over at the Dunbar.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's one of the things. You got to have people that can bring people together.
Yeah.
And I
work on it, man.
Yeah. You got to be able to bring people together.
Yeah. I had a call with somebody that I had a little bit of a falling out with about 2 years ago. And, you know, was like, you know, let's connect. Let's do some stuff. And his response was like, oh, you still mess with me? Like, after all that happened? And I was like, man. Like, before all that stuff happened, you was in the community with me. We were doing stuff together. I haven't forgotten all the 95% of the good stuff because of the 5% of the little bad
stuff.
You know, two months that we had.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, you got to be able to get past that, man. Right. We're not going to grow.
Right. That's cool. Yeah. So, hey, it's time for us to take a break. But when we return, we're going to talk some more with the president of the Dunbar Coalition. And just hang in there. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tucson, do you have a hankering for some good old down-home cooking? Well, you're in luck. Along with our award-winning barbecue, we have Southern Fried Catfish, mac and cheese, collard greens, fried okra, peach cobbler, sweet potato pie, and much more. 745-4746. That's 745-4746. Or visit our website. Come on down to Ken's Hardwood Barbecue and get your barbecue on.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast with Ken Alexander and my co-host,
dun-dun-dun-dun.
The Doctor.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Hey, we're here with Sam Brown.
Yeah, the man who coined the name Dr. Andre Jones.
Oh, right.
Wow. The doctor.
That's right.
Doctor. So, yeah, we're here talking to Sam, the president of the Dunbar Coalition.
El Presidente.
So, Sam, why did you want to get involved with the Dunbar Coalition? What kind of motivated you to offer up and run as the president?
Yeah, I think my involvement first started with just, I had two very specific things in mind. Mm-hmm. When I just showed up at the Dunbar one day, and I met Debbie Chess, and she was like, what are you thinking? You know, we were walking around, and I said, well, the first thing, I was working with a doctor at the time who wanted to open a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And we had done some research to basically map out the whole city.
Right.
Where are all the low income clinics?
Mm-hmm.
And where are all, and we included like the, you know, urgent cares and like the Walgreens, the CVS, Fast Minute clinics. So we had mapped out the whole city. And there were two places in the city that had the biggest gaping hole of no access.
Right.
Mm. And one was Valencia and like Country Club, kind of near the airport.
Right.
Not many clinics there. Well, I don't think there's any clinics there at all. And the second, surprisingly, was in my old neighborhood in Sugar Hill, Dunbar Springs area.
Wow. Really?
It was not like a low-income clinic at all. Hmm. And so in that big gap, at the bottom of that gap was Dunbar. So I was like, man, if you want to open a clinic, like, let's go talk Dunbar. To Dunbar.
Uh-huh. right.
Nice place. And the second thing, and that, you know, that is or is... will or will not happen one day, who knows, you know.
Right.
But like, as I mentioned, Dunbar has a really good health and wellness program going on now, and very proud of that. And the second was the Black Chamber.
Right.
So that was really what brought me, was we were having all these conversations in different small circles about the Black Chamber.
Right, the Black Chamber.
And and it was sort of natural. People started saying, what about the Dunbar? Like, that's our space. Mm-hmm. You know, why go reinvent the wheel, as you say. So that's what brought me to Dunbar in the first place, was community economic development's always been my passion. When I was in law school, I was in the community economic development law clinic.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I worked with a farmer's market in Ward 8 in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
To try to help them get a grant to bring food to the food desert in Southeast D.C.
Wow.
Helped another organization get their 501c3 and just, you know, really believe in the power of community and of economic development, and that those two things are tied. And so that's what brought me to Dunbar.
Right.
And then, you know, after a few conversations, Debbie was like, well, why don't you join our board? You know, Debbie's real good for that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And I joined the board and was just, you know, just blown away by the momentum, you know, that Debbie Chess had brought. The U of A, you know, was supporting the Dunbar at that time. Bill Ponder, you know, also with the U of A, just making some amazing things happen. And it at that time, it was really like, let's fill it up. Like, we're not full attendance. We're not making all the revenue we should. And I got to see it grow from like a little momentum to a lot of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
I think the elders knew that they were grooming me to be the president, but I didn't know.
Got it.
You had no idea.
I didn't know. And then, like, you know, when somebody finally kind of mentioned it to me, like, everything plays back in your head.
Right,
like,
right.
All them comments, all the nudges. And it was sort of presented me like, man, you know, you are the right person for this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, go home, think about it. And it was just, I was so surprised and honored.
Right, right.
That even they would consider me, you know.
Wow.
And was really kind of taken aback. And sometimes you don't have confidence in yourself, and you're like, really? Like, yo, I thought about it. I was like, yeah, I can do this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe I am. If you see that, I can see that.
Right.
And, you know, I had been through, it was tough because I had been through with Pastor Holt sort of this big giant task of revitalizing the Urban League.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, so the Urban League also has some momentum. And I was a big part of that, and I really had to pray on it. I had to talk to a lot of my mentors and family and really consider, for a moment, I almost left the Urban League board because I was like, this is such a big honor to be the president of Dunbar. I don't want to be distracted.
Right.
I did leave the executive team as vice president of Urban League, but I stayed on the board of the Urban League because there's so much momentum, and I had brought so many other people in, it just didn't feel right sort of walking away. But to be very clear that when I show up at an event or when I show up anywhere, you know, I'm here on behalf of Dunbar. So that was big for me to make that break and make it very, very public that I'm involved in Hush. You know, I got a couple small businesses. I'm with TUSD. I do a lot of things. But right now, Dunbar is my priority.
Right. Oh, that's good.
And it's heavier than I thought, man. It's every day.
Why?
Oh,
you know,
sure.
I think you're right. I know you're the right person for the job.
Yeah.
Man,
and it doesn't hurt to have a law degree. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. Yeah. No, you know? I appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
Right.
It's a heavy thing to carry, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love this community, man. Mm. I love going places and telling people I'm from Tucson.
Yeah.
Right.
Holding my head high. And you know about you don't know about the Buffalo Soldiers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't know about Esteban? Or you didn't know black people been in the Southwest? You don't know about black cowboys?
Right.
Like, we got a legacy that our story ain't been told yet.
Right.
Nah, man, a lot of people don't know that a third of the cowboys were black.
Yep.
Maybe up to a half, but at least a third.
Right.
Yep, at least a third. We got the Black Rodeo coming up. Shout out.
Right.
Black Rodeo, Arizona Black Rodeo's back.
Yeah, it's back up in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, man, just to be a part of the legacy, man, and to just sort of fall into, someone told me the other day, asked me, like, well, what's your agenda? Do you have an agenda? Somebody thinks you have an agenda at the Dumb Boy. I said, oh, my agenda is for Black Tucson to win.
Hey.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Like, just, if that's what you're about, come see me.
Right.
Just build community.
Yeah.
That's it.
Build community. Yeah. I mean, nothing wrong with folks, you know, having a decent job, making a decent living wage,
mm-hmm. having a home,
yeah,
having food on the table.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How can you, you know, shake a stick at that?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And that's the foundation for all these other wonderful things.
You know, having health care, being able to, right. you know, get a little health care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a place to get a little assistance right. when needed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes just a space to just be yourself.
Yeah. Right.
And not have to code switch and not have to censor yourself, you know?
Right.
That's one of the beautiful things that happens at places like Hush, like Dunbar, mm-hmm. where you can just be yourself, man.
Yeah. So how can the community get involved to help and support the Dunbar Center? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can go to, you can email us. Yeah. So I'm very easy to get, Sam, S-A-M, at thedunbartucson.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our executive director is Debbie, D-E-B-I, at thedunbartucson.org. And you can go to thedunbartucson.org. You can order a Dunbar shirt. If you want the hashtag Dunbar shirt. You want to find out about events, you want to donate, you can donate one time, you can become a recurring subscription donation. We love that.
Right.
You know, if you want to just give $10 a month, $25 a month, $50, $100, $1,000 a month, whatever you want to do, we'll put you on an auto pay. You ain't got to think about it. Log on with your PayPal. So
is the Dunbar, do they have the designation by the state of Arizona where you donate to the Dunbar and you get a dollar for dollar credit?
Sure do. We're a 501c3 organization. Nice. Please use that Arizona tax credit.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's really good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're growing. It's amazing. So our board is full. Well, we have one vacancy now, but it's pretty exciting. Our board is full.
Yeah.
But we have committees. And if you're looking to volunteer, I mean, hit us up, email us, be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that, you know, I'm so thrilled that I can walk the halls my father walked and my grandfather walked and my grandkids are gonna walk because of the stuff we do now.
Right.
So be a part of it. Come join us. It's Sam at the DunbarTucson.org, 325 West 2nd Street. In case I didn't mention it, at the corner south of Main and Speedway.
That's Tucson. That's a great vision, man. Great vision.
Yeah, I look at, you know, I'm Black and Jewish and I grew up in a neighborhood. I also grew up, you know, going to the Jewish Community Center as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what that space is for Jewish Tucson is what I want the Dunbar to be for Black Tucson.
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
It is, you know, there's no Jewish neighborhood, just like there ain't no Black neighborhood, but it's a place where people come together, people meet, people network, mm-hmm. business deals are made, relationships are formed. And that's what we want for the Dunbar. And not what we want, that's what's going to happen for the Dunbar. And it doesn't even stop at the Dunbar's location now. I think that's going to expand to the area.
Right.
There's a Splinter House.
Mm-hmm.
It's about two blocks to the west.
Yeah.
And a bunch of creatives, great things happening there. They do a poetry night once a month for the LGBT community. My boy Kovan Johnson has his gym right there by Esteban Park. He's doing some great things over there by the park. Like I said, Reggie Kennedy got his clothing shop. So in my vision, it's even bigger than where we are now. It's that whole area. Esteban Park is named after the brother that discovered Tucson. I mean, the whole area just has, you got Friendship Baptist Church across the street. You got Sharon Seventh-day Adventist Church down the street.
Sure.
I mean, it's a lot of history in that whole area, Dunbar Spring, not just, you know, the location of the Dunbar.
Yeah. Right, so you're talking about building that whole community, that whole area there.
Amen. One day.
One day. Well, I mean. Yep.
It'll happen one day at a time.
Yeah,
I know we're looking at you know, maybe bringing Juneteenth back to the Dunbar next year.
Wow.
This year will be a you know, virtual, virtual by Juneteenth. Next year. Right. You know, we've had it at Kennedy Park. We've had it at A Mountain Park, you know, way back in the day. Had it at the TCC. But you know, one of my missions is, you know, let's bring it back to the hood. So
right. I love it.
That's great. Yeah, that's man. Great.
So we'll see what happens.
All right. So I know you guys have you talked about the 17th of April.
Yeah.
And the event is coming up. So you have some food events.
Yeah.
At the
Heritage Market. There's food at the Dunbar. If you want to come on a regular day, there's a small restaurant there. You can come get meals. They have like prepared meals you can get.
Oh, really?
So yeah, what? Man.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Now my name is going blank. The name of the plate. So they do like real healthy food. You know, they don't cook it there. So a lot of people will come. A lot of firefighters, police, they'll come by and get meals for the whole week. So you see these guys come in and come out with bags full of
So these are
10 meal, like meal prep.
These are meal prep. Yeah. Like you see online and that kind of stuff. So they'll come and then they just take it home.
And the food's great. I mean, teriyaki chicken with sweet potatoes. Like, man, it's so good.
So it's a balanced meal.
It's a balanced meal. It's healthy. It's high protein.
And you just take it home and you cook it.
Take it home, cook it. I mean, they have a small seating area and a microwave if you want to eat there.
Right.
But there's a lot. I mean, you come by the Dunbar now, you smell the food cooking.
Wow.
Cool.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And so so I want to see more of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see more economic activity out the Dunbar. And yeah, this market, man, it's just a way to give people a place. I have my godson's mother she has a clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came out in February and was just like, I was like, well, how'd you do? She said, I sold out. Mm. Well, how many shirts you sold? I thought you 10 or 12. She said, I sold 28 shirts.
Mm. Wow.
Now, 28 shirts at $20 a pop, you do the math, right? For a single mother, that's a big difference.
That is.
In your life. And if you have somewhere like that every month.
To go? Right, yeah. Right.
And so just think about, you know, what space means for our community. It doesn't mean like just a place to go and hang out or just a place to have events. It means like the foundation of something.
Sure.
Something super, super dope, like T.O., right?
Right.
Like
right.
Took off from the Dunbar. So
right.
That's why you should email me at Sam DunbarTucson.org. Come by 325 West 2nd Street.
The president of plug. Yeah, who he is.
Come be a part of it. Come see the plug.
Yeah, the president of the plug.
Exactly. Right. He knows how to plug it in wherever he needs to.
I need every child in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's too ambitious, but at least every black child in Tucson. When you leave Tucson at 18, or when you leave Tucson, you know where the Dunbar is. You know your history. You know about Esteban. You know about the Buffalo Soldiers. And you're proud. You hold your head up proud. I'm from Tucson because it's a special thing. There's no other place like this on earth, y'all.
No.
There's not.
No.
Like Phoenix is kind of like El Paso, Santa Fe, Albuquerque, kind of like Tucson, but right. ain't no place like Tucson.
No.
It's not.
No.
No.
We put barbecue sauce on our tacos, y'all. It's like soul Mexican food.
Yes,
you know we sell barbecue tacos at the
Hardwood. That's what
we
do. At the
Hardwood.
Exactly.
We do things different here.
Exactly. That's
fried chicken with salsa. We all kind of weird stuff, y'all. Come see us.
Yeah. No place like home.
That's right.
Besides Dorothy, no place
like home. Yes.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Amen.
I do have one question for all.
Sure.
You know, this is a cooking show. We want to know, what do you throw down at home?
Oh my God. I throw down, man.
What do you throw down?
Yeah, so first and foremost is catfish.
Ooh, really?
My catfish is incredible. Yeah. And
so you cooking whole catfish or catfish fillets?
Fillets. Mm-hmm. But outside. You can't cook no catfish in the house.
Right.
And I know it's my best dish because my 11-year-old is like, we have catfish in the next week. Can we have catfish on? We have it last.
You have to have it once a week.
I take it to potlucks, it's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, like, wow.
Every time I got to bring more and it's always disappears.
Right.
So I actually cooked catfish in the oven the other day because we trying to like eat a little better.
Yeah.
Right.
With some cornmeal in the oven. It came out all right. It was good, but it ain't the same.
Then no.
Oven fried catfish and fried catfish.
Yes.
With big some difference. Greens, macaroni and cheese, pickle. Yeah. You got to have a pickle with your catfish.
That's
the rule.
All right.
And some cornbread. Mm-hmm. I make a mean lasagna.
Oh, really? Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. I make a mean lasagna. Gumbo.
Oh, wow. Really?
I made gumbo. And my gumbo was inspired by Ken's wife.
Really?
I yeah. never told you this story.
Nah.
I was at your house. Yeah. And we were there for a meeting. It was a men's meeting, I think. Yeah. And we were in the cave.
Right.
and Ken brings out this pot, right? This uh-huh. like crock pot. And it had, I don't know if it was gumbo. And it was jambalaya. It was one of those.
Yeah.
But I remember going home. And I talked to my wife, and I was like, I could make that. That's good. Like, because I had never seen anyone right. make it at home.
Right,
like that, right,
right, right.
So this ain't like a family thing. Like, this right. came directly from Ken.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, I started, because I like to cook. I'm Googling, you know, yeah. different things. And you know what we do, put together like 8 different recipes.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
yeah.
the piece I like from
each one. We always yeah. say, man, a recipe is a starting place.
Exactly.
It's a
exactly.
starting place.
So I start killing it, and, you know, just crab legs and making the roux and I involve my kids, and you know, gumbo always takes like 4 hours,
right?
Like, it's a whole process,
right, man? Right. But I mean, it's you know, it's a community kind of thing. You mm-hmm. got the kids and everybody's involved, and mm-hmm. you know, just throwing some stuff in the pot.
And a great food story, I know, rest in power, my homegirl Carrie Purdy Williams, she passed. But she used to make gumbo every Christmas.
Ooh.
And her daughter, Jay Reed, she's 20 now, mm-hmm. right? And so last Christmas, I had made gumbo like October, and I brought them some.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, they were talking about, oh yeah, Carrie used to make the gumbo. I said, Jay Reed, I'll teach you how to make it. She said, yeah. So I went over like probably 23rd,
right.
days before Christmas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Got with the young girl. We got in the kitchen. Spent yeah. about 3 hours. Taught her how to make the gumbo.
Mm.
And it was just, it's so meaningful. Like,
right.
right.
The whole family came for Christmas. So everybody ate.
Oh.
And it was like just an honor to my friend mm-hmm. Carrie, my sister Carrie, man, that her daughter now knows how to make it. Like, that's what food means.
Yeah.
Like, it's more than just the food. It's the experience. When people like, I'm finally, because I'm cheap. Everybody know me, I'm cheap. But I realized, I read an article, food is about the experience. It's
yeah,
not about
yeah.
me. So when I go, you know, and you get the bill and you like $120 for dinner, but it wasn't about that.
The, right.
It was no. about the conversation
experience.
And the experience. So
yeah.
Because that's what you're going to remember. I mean,
right.
the good food will take you there.
Right.
But when you start thinking about the restaurant, it ain't going to be the calamari, whatever you're going to be thinking
you
about,
remember
the
that.
People that you were with,
yeah, right.
and the time that you had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the fellowship.
Yeah.
Food and fellowship, man. That's
it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Right,
love it.
Right.
So, yeah, gumbo, man. Mean gumbo.
Mean gumbo.
Mean gumbo.
All right.
All right, bro.
Yep. I love cooking, though. I'm with it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made spicy Thai noodles with peanuts.
Ooh,
really?
Yeah.
Same thing. My other son, 17, Elijah.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you make that again? I was like, we made it last week. I didn't get enough. All right, man. I make the noodles, man.
I didn't get enough.
That's what I'm talking about.
I love it.
That's what it's all about, Sam.
We always cook.
It's all about bringing folks together and enjoying some good food.
Absolutely.
And the joy of cooking, me and my wife, is so different. I like cooking. It's a cooking show.
Right.
So like, I cut everything up,
yeah.
put it in little bowls.
Put all my stuff ready.
And I throw it down. My wife, she don't measure nothing. She don't need to measure. She's
yeah,
amazing, right? My wife
right.
in Arkansas, yeah. she just grabbed this.
Pinch of this, that.
You ain't measure nothing. I don't need to measure nothing. You don't need a recipe. I don't need a recipe. She don't need nothing. She's amazing, too.
Yeah. Wow.
Nah.
Yeah, my kids eat good, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but sounds like you're teaching them. So, when they leave the house, they're going to be able to burn themselves.
Absolutely,
exactly.
Man. Like, y'all got you. My oldest son is 23. He cooks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, man, you can't leave my house and be eating on my
Right.
Right.
You got to be
ramen might not be your main meal, man. Come on now.
Absolutely not.
You got to learn how to cook.
Get some pots and frying pans.
That's what I'm talking about, bro.
Yeah.
Yep. And the joy of just like first 3 times you make it is like, okay.
Yeah.
To like figure it out.
Better. Yeah, right. Yeah. You get to the routine of, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then after that, man, you own it.
Yeah.
I got a name for it.
It's an old family recipe, man. You're talking about my old family recipe.
Right. And they're like, where'd that start, Tucson?
A few years ago.
We got the cookbook, and I'll be naming my stuff. It's called Sam Smack Your Half Mama Gumbo. That's the name of the gumbo.
Your half mama.
I don't even remember where that name came. We were cooking and joking or something.
Right, yeah.
Your half mama.
Yeah.
Because you can't have a half mama.
Yeah. It's funny anyway.
Yep. So only 2 people know how to make it, me and Jay Ree.
There you go.
That's it. And my boys.
Yeah.
My son.
That's good, man.
So So thing you got me all excited about food is dinner time.
Hey man, this is a cookie show. Get your barbecue. Yeah,
exactly.
On, you know,
I'm about to go by Ken.
Me and the doctor.
Yeah. Hey Ken, I forgot. What's the address?
It's 5250 East 22nd Street.
Hey, 5250 East 22nd Street. The plug.
Yeah, but we closed on Monday, so don't come today.
Bum, 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 bum.
Tomorrow, 5250.
Exactly.
Yeah, 5250. 22nd Street. Yeah.
Close on Mondays.
Right now,
close on Mondays.
Yeah.
Sundays and Mondays.
Yeah. But Sam, it's been. Man, it's been a great time today.
Yeah, man. Always have a good time with y'all, man.
Yeah.
With the doctor.
With the doctor. So, hey, you have a wonderful week.
All right, you too.
And be blessed. Thank you.
Use your hand sanitizer, wash your hands. It's not over, y'all.
No.
This joint's not over.
Yeah. And hey, we'll do whatever we can do to support you over there at the Dunbar.
Cool, man. Appreciate it.
Coalition. And
we'll do some big things, y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm ready. All right. Blessings.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, we really appreciate you listening to the show today. And we'll be back next week with another great guest. Take care.